field goal now. Here's a Hunter, and he'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Elise, La Pantanita! It's a Honduran connection.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
The second hour of Soccer Matters is brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Second hour is brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. A big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLaw.com. Get over to the website. Look, they will take care of your case 24-7. They're going to fight for your right for compensation. Again, John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, they're bilingual. Get over to DaspitLaw.com. Big thank you to them. And also to the special edition Bud Light Texas packaging, which is brewed in Texas by Texans. And that's no wonder. Bud Light is the number one light lager in the state. Enjoy responsibly. AB Bud Light Beer, Houston, Texas. Great friend of mine on the show now. Great friend of yours. You've heard him for years. Former New York Cosmos goalkeeper. He's the current analyst right now for the New York Red Bulls on Madison Square Garden Network. Agent, you name it, he's done it. Shep Messing. Shep, thank you as always for coming on.
Well, Glenn, you know, you're a dear friend. You're a colleague. Played together, broadcast together. And you know, at this stage of my career, I'm doing a lot of things, but I don't go on radio shows anymore. I only do it for one person in America. And during the World Cup, I got numerous calls from all the networks to go on, and I refused. But for you, Glenn Davis, I am always there.
Well, I can't tell you how appreciative we are. And it's always great to get your insight on everything. Because, look, as my listeners should know, Shep not only was a player, but he was also a player agent. He has been involved in all levels of sport in this country and has helped to grow the game here, not only as a player, but with an equally impressive career off the field, which you can't say about everybody all the time. So not all of us get that Diego Maradona or Pele gig, right?
Listen, Glenn, I like to tell people, and I think it's true, it's a little bit self-denigrating, but I had one great, great year playing for the Cosmos with Pele and Franz and Giorgio and Carlos Alberto and winning the championship. And I'd made a living out of that for 40 years after. So I was in the right place at the right time and obviously couldn't done it without those guys.
Yeah, well, I think you're being a little hard on yourself because there's a lot of other great things you've done. First off, I want to go back to the NASL era. And he obviously was a coach in the ASL as well, the indoor leagues. Ron Newman recently passed. San Diego Soccers, we remember him very immensely for Dallas Tornado. How about a couple of words about Ron Newman and what he did for the game promotion-wise as well?
Wow, I'm taking a deep breath because out of so many people who have helped grow the game, Glenn, as you know, in this country, and many of those people are forgotten. One who will never be forgotten is Ron Newman because, you know, Glenn, he came to this country at a time where soccer was first really making its mark. Well before his indoor legacy, Ron Newman, I remember him first with the Fort Lauderdale Strikers and the great teams that he had there. But that was an era where pioneers, both American and from all over the world, really set their flag in the ground in America and said, I love this country, I want to live here, and I'm going to help and do everything I can for the game. And that's certainly the legacy of Ron Newman. And I, Glenn, I could think about all the championships we played, you know, the New York Arrows, San Diego Soccers. You mentioned Dallas. I think of him, again, first with the Strikers. And I think of him with a smile on my face because he was one of those guys, Glenn, and you knew him. He was one of those guys who lit up a room when he walked in. He was a great coach, and I don't use that term lightly, but he was also a great guy. He was a leader. I'll tell you a story, and I'll keep it for the young audience that you have, but I was playing for the Rochester Lancers in Rochester. Ron was coaching the Fort Lauderdale Strikers. We had a hard-fought game in Rochester. I'm not sure who won the game, but in those days, it must have been about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I was staying in a hotel in Rochester because I didn't live there. So at about 2 in the morning, I'm walking the streets, and I end up in a bar. Let's just say it's a bar that had women dancing, you know, not on the dance floor, but it's a place where women dance.
Correct.
And I walk into the bar, sit down and get a drink, and who's sitting next to me? Ron Newman. And he hugged me and laughed, and we ended up leaving and going to a coffee shop. He was a guy who loved the sport, who loved to coach, loved the players, and loved the game. And I really can't think of a guy who's done more for soccer in this country than Ron Newman. He's one of the few.
You know, one thing we can certainly relate to down here in Texas as well is that he was on the Dallas Tornado as a player, and then he became the coach. But if we remember here in the state of Texas to show his influence, Ron Newman and all those ex-Dallas Tornado guys began coaching in Dallas and really grew the game of soccer. So, I mean, there's so many different things he has done throughout his career, promotion-wise and playing-wise, coaching-wise. As you mentioned, Fort Lauderdale Strikers with all the stars. But he was at it in the beginning also when it was all about what you said, pioneering. So RIP Ron Newman, and we dedicate a second night of the show to him. I want to ask you about Yosef Martinez, Atlanta. This guy is a goal scorer, love his insatiable appetite. This guy's got to be a superstar in Atlanta right now.
Hey, Glenn, you and I have watched MLS grow over the years. And let's be honest, there were some growing pains, right? The quality of soccer was not great the first 5 years, the first 10 years. And even as the sport continued to grow, Major League Soccer, you know, it was still pretty vanilla. It lacked the personalities of an Alexi Lalas with the long hair and the beard. And what I love about Martinez most, and then we'll talk about him as a player, this guy is a colorful character. I mean, watch him on the field with a hairdo, the body and the language, and his joy. He plays with a joy and a fury. So I think the league, Major League Soccer, needs more players of his ilk. I mean, this guy has charisma, and that charisma is lighting up a stadium that, what did they put, 72,000 people in Atlanta? So, yeah, he's got all the elements to be a superstar. Now, look, you know Glenn better than anybody. You need the right setting sometimes as a player to take off. He had a stint in Italy where he really didn't light it up, but he's come here, and this guy, look, I just hope Atlanta and the league keep him here.
Yeah, me too.
Because there's got to be teams all over the world looking at what he's doing and saying, this is a guy we should get.
Incidentally, Shep Messing joining us here, Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, former New York Cosmos goalkeeper, New York Red Bulls analyst. We're going to get to the Red Bulls in a minute here. But Yosef Martinez today apparently was doing a signing. There was a line like 2 hours before already forming. I mean, this guy is being held up as an athlete in the city of Atlanta, right up there with any NFL player or anybody in any other professional sport there. So, you know, it shows it can be done.
Look, we talked, Glenn, we know this league, and we love this league, and we want more for it, right? I'm not always rose-colored glasses. I want it to be the best league in the world. And we've gone through that era of players, and we can name them all, whether it's Beckham or Rafa Marquez, Blanco, all the players who came at a certain stage in their career. And now we're seeing in Atlanta a different approach, right? They go after the young international talent that really is on the rise, young, talented, and potentially great players. So it's no surprise. Look, is Atlanta a surprise to me? Absolutely. I'm not going to lie about that. Nobody expected Atlanta to do what they did. But it takes players like that, Martinez, to do it. And you know it as well as I do, Glenn. A player in a performance like that in a big market like Atlanta, and I'm going to get to Houston at some point in this conversation because I have my ideas for them. You know them better than I do. But a player like Martinez can take that city, Atlanta, and rise it on their shoulder. And that's what he's done. He's a megastar down there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's exciting to see Shep Messing joining us here, Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Let's talk a little bit about the New York Red Bulls. Tomorrow night you'll have the call on Madison Square Garden Network here in Houston. We'll call it locally on the Cube. Eddie Robinson will be with me. You will be with the wonderful Steve Cangelosi, a great friend of ours, doing it from Red Bull Arena. Beautiful arena up there. Dynamo 10 points out of a playoff spot. The New York Red Bulls number two in the overall table, I believe, for the Supporter Shield. So if there was a single table in this league, they would be number two in the league. Look, they're not one of the higher spending teams in Major League Soccer, the Red Bull. But when I look at their roster, I see so much connection to the East Coast. Red Bull Academy, Red Bull Under 23 team, St. John's University. That to me must be big part of the secret up there. It's young, it's aggressive, it's the New York Red Bulls under the Red Bull umbrella.
Hey, Glenn, again, we'll get to Houston after, because I believe Houston has the lowest payroll in the league. But you're right about New York Red Bulls, and it's really a franchise that's turned it around under Jesse Marsh. They've had their ups and downs before. They made it to MLS Cup once, which was a little bit of an aberration, because that year, as you know, they ended up playing in the West to qualify and go through Houston and end up at MLS Cup. But it was when Jesse Marsh came here and Ali Curtis that they really put the blueprint for what these Red Bulls look like today. And it's just what you said. You look at the talent coming out of there. You know, Dallas gets a ton of credit for youth development, their academy, rightfully so. Red Bull's ahead of them. If you talk about Aaron Long and Tyler Adams, Sean Davis, and these players that are coming up USL Academy through the Red Bull system into the first team, it's been a joy to watch. It really has. Now, having said that, you know I'm not Pollyanna. I'm sick of them not winning MLS Cup.
Yeah.
We could talk Supporters Shield all we want. We could talk U.S. Open Cup. I don't care about it. If you play here in this country, put a ring on your finger. You've got to win. Nobody cared that the New England Patriots went undefeated and lost to the Giants in the Super Bowl.
Well, Supporter Shield doesn't mean anything either, right? Because we don't prioritize that. We prioritize the MLS Cup. Supporter Shield really tells you who's the best team over the year in the league in MLS, but we don't seem to really care about that.
Well, no, because it's six of one, half dozen of the other. Either you don't have playoffs, get rid of the playoffs, get rid of MLS Cup, and then you're playing like every other league in the world, in the Premier League or La Liga or Italy, Serie A or France, okay. But here we have a hybrid, right? If you're going to just play the table, single table, play for the Supporter Shield, I'm all for it. But now you got the playoffs. You can't have both, to me, and have them both mean something. Supporter Shield means something, obviously, in a context that if you win it and you get to MLS Cup, you're going to host it. That's important. But back to Red Bull, Glenn, I don't say this often. I think this is the best team that they've had in their history. And I think now's the time for them to make a run, go to the Cup and win it. This is good as it's ever gotten for Red Bulls in terms of quality of the roster, depth of the roster. Now can they do it?
He's Shep Messing joining us here, Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. By the way, we didn't mention Matt Miazga, who's already over in Europe playing with somebody.
That's
as
right.
Well. Tyler Adams is expected to go to Red Bull Leipzig. Is that one going to happen?
Yeah, it is. And that brings me to another point. I thought, you know, how are Red Bulls doing this year? Look, Jesse Marsh left. Great for Jesse. No better guy in the world. I wish him well. But to talk about Jesse leaving, Chris Armas taking over, and Tyler Adams on his way to Leipzig, I was really worried that they were going to break down this season. It's hard when your coach leaves, even though Chris Armas is right there and a lieutenant, and then one of your star players, he's got it in his head, he's going to Leipzig. I thought they were going to hit a bump in the road, but it's been a seamless transition since Chris Armas took over. I can tell you there were three games when I was broadcasting with Cangelosi when I thought Tyler Adams was not the same player, and I think it was in his head. You know how it is, Glenn, for a young player who's got a big move to Europe coming up. You know, do I have one foot out the door? Do I have both feet in? He didn't play well for three games, but then Tyler Adams has rebounded. He's a force. Chris Armas has stamped his name on the team. So any doubt about them suffering was Jesse leaving, I think they've passed that.
Hey, what about Chris Armas, who was a number six like Adams, you know, one of those midfielders that breaks up a lot of plays and is aggressive and is a guy that helps you kind of maintain control of the middle third? I would imagine that Chris Armas is a tremendous influence on Tyler Adams, even when Jesse Marsh was there.
Yeah, you, Glenn, you're 100% right. And Cangelosi and I often go to practice, as you do, a week before a game. And Chris Armas, even when Jesse was here, I mean, Tyler Adams looks to him. He always has. And you nailed it. I mean, that guy sitting in front of the back four who's a ball winner, like Chris Armas and Tyler Adams, and then they can make that first play going forward. So Chris Armas has had a big influence on Tyler Adams. And I'm sure it was Chris who got a hold of him during that three-game stretch and said, hey, look, Tyler, get your head back in the game. Leipzig will be waiting for you. We need you here now.
So our thanks to Shep Messing as we get set for a break here. One thing to remind you of, the full interview with Shep, and you don't want to miss that, will be over at podcastarena.com and iTunes. A moment here right now for Advantage BMW. I've driven a BMW for years. I've leased, I've owned from Advantage BMW in Midtown numerous times. The 5 Series, I absolutely love it. The other thing I love is the customer service at BMW. It's second to none. Get down to Advantage BMW Midtown. They have you covered with sales, service, and finance. It can be done so easy. They love soccer. They're supporting our show on the radio. So get down there, see Philip, Justin, and Sergio. They love soccer. Daspit Law Firm, they are our second hour presenting sponsor. And again, as always, John and his firm are personal injury attorneys. They're going to bring you a personalized approach. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. Now, whether you get in a car accident, motorcycle, industrial construction, plant, refinery, it doesn't matter. They're going to have you covered. They're going to work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. They're going to get you comfortable with their representation. If you need a Daspit Law Firm, you go to DaspitLaw.com. They're proud sponsors of Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. A big thank you to Daspit Law Firm, John Daspit, 713-322-HURT. Now, if you're going to a Dynamo game, pregame, you head over to Edo, you go to Kings Court, 903 Hutchins in the shadows of BBVA Compass Stadium. El Bateon hangs out there pre and post game. Kings Court, 13 monitors, all your soccer watching desires, leagues from around the world. Incredible Indian food, by the way. Incredible. Curries, chicken tikka masala, you name it, they have it. Incredible Indian food. Rooftop deck, spectacular. Cuisine, a winner, Kings Court, great food, staff, selection of the bar and cocktails, all there at great prices. Say hello to Jay, KingsCourtTX.com. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to start talking Premier League. It's Warren Barton of Fox coming up next.
You know who it is.
It's Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Quick word here from my friends at Advantage BMW Midtown. Now, I've driven one for years. I've leased, I've owned from Advantage BMW Midtown. It is an awesome place to get the BMW treatment. I love the drive of BMW. It's the ultimate driving machine. 5 Series, you got to love it. The other thing I love is the customer service at BMW. Second to none. Advantage BMW Midtown has you covered with sales, service, and finance, and it can be done so easy. Get the hometown advantage at Advantage BMW, AdvantageBMWHouston.com. Down there yesterday, unbelievable on the floor, brand new M5 in a blue color that I've never seen before. But go down there, say hello to Philip, Justin, Sergio. They are big soccer fans. And they are the reason why we are on the radio. So a big thank you to the guys down at Advantage BMW. And a big thank you to the next guy who's been a frequent guest on this show, Warren Barton, Fox analyst, former defender for Newcastle United, joins us right now. Hi, Warren. How are you?
I'm very well, my friend. How are you?
All right. I'm doing fine. Did you decompress after the World Cup? I know you did a bit of traveling.
Yeah, I did. You know, it was after the excitement of England getting to the semi-final and obviously France winning it, and the hard work that we all put in throughout that tournament with Fox was excellent. Yeah, I was lucky enough. I went off to Europe. I went and see my family in England, over to Amsterdam, which was a wonderful place. And Mario Melchior, a good colleague at Fox, helped me out with some great ideas. And then off to Berlin,
which was great to see some training, see some the sights over there, back to the south of France, and then back to England, and then back to sunny Southern California. So I can't complain, my friend. I'm having a good time at the moment. And to top that all off, I got my citizenship about 5 days ago. So now I'm just like yourself, Lexi Lalas, Eric Ronaldo, Stuart Holden. I'm one of the boys.
You know, that I saw that. I think I sent you a note on that, and I was going to lead you into that, and I wanted to tell you congratulations. And, you know, we accept you with open arms. I think you're
Thank
one
you
of
very
us
much.
Now.
Thank you very much. The English pushed me out, so I don't know whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I'm looking forward to it. I love the country. I've been here
it's
10
all...
years, my family, my kids are all involved, so they're all citizens now. So, yeah, very proud of that occasion.
Yeah, you should be, and I know how much you love Southern California as well. So, all right, let's get down to the news, though. Let's talk a little bit about Manchester United's match yesterday against Spurs. Obviously, a better first half is what Manchester United and their fans are really clinging on to here. It was the second half that things changed dramatically. How do you position this match with Manchester United here?
Yeah, funny enough, Glenn, I've been in similar situations, and it was against Manchester United that we played very, very well, had numerous chances, and then got done by the sucker punch. And great credit to Tottenham and Harry Kane. And Pochettino with their tactics in the second half and how they played the game. And Mourinho rolled the dice a little bit and said he wanted to play three at the back with Herrera, who's more of a natural, we know that, of a midfield player. And he got called out a little bit. Lee Dixon made a great point. And as a defender, you're used to playing at the back, but when you throw a midfielder in there, his positional sense more when he hasn't got the ball, and he kept everybody onside for the second goal, and you know, that they got done by the sucker punch. But I thought there was lots of positives with Manchester United, but I'm strange, Glenn, that we're having to say there's lots of positives with this team. When I look at this talented players that they have, the roster that they have, Lukaku and Pogba, who's a World Cup winner, and the list goes on, and Mourinho's desperate for centre-halves, and you know, you look at Smalling and Jones and the players that he had, Bailly, that he's bought as well, and Lindelof that he's brought into the team. He's got a coach. He's got to get on with it and stop whinging and moaning and get the best out of the players. And he was trying to encourage his players like Shaw on that left-hand side, who I thought had a good game. But you're playing against a quality team like Spurs that have grown up together and understand certain moments of the game. And they smelt it and they took advantage of that. And in big games, that's what happens. The big teams realise when they're a little bit vulnerable, conceded a goal from a set piece, and then they went for the juggler. And 2-0, it was all over. And it was only going to be really your sense that United may get a rally call, and but on the counter attack, that they look deadly going forward. So you know, Mourinho, there's lots of positives. What he should do, in my opinion, and I think Mickey Carrick was in his ear saying to him, just get on and coach. Don't whinge about what you've done and how many champions that you've won. And we all know that you've been telling us that for 15 years of what you've done. Get on with it now and coach and get the best out of it, because you could tell the players was with him. But they're in a hole and they need to get out of it. But I thought Spurs was magnificent. Pochettino's looked the part with his suit on, and he played the part with his players afterwards. It was a vintage performance away from home.
Warren Barton joining us, Fox analyst. I'm going to go back to Mourinho, and you said, you know, get on with it and coach. But I think this is a part and parcel of this guy's daily life. Doesn't he like confrontation? I mean, the whole thing with Ed Woodward, why couldn't I go by Harry Maguire? Are you buying all that? Does he have the players there to produce? Because, you know, the whole line now and the sale and the messaging from Mourinho is I'm not getting enough resources here to do my job.
See, I'm not buying that. I mean, you know, Maguire, is he a better really defender than maybe, you know, a year ago? Let's think a year ago, Glenn, and go back. And Bailly was doing well in La Liga. Lindelof was doing excellent in Portugal, and Smalling was looking the part. And is Maguire a better player than them, really? I don't think so. I think he's playing at a team at Leicester, and I've been there. I've been at a Leicester team where the expectations are not high. You can hit that long diagonal ball and no one's going to moan and groan. You're not expected to pass it out at the back like you are United. If he goes to Man United and has... Look at Shaw. Shaw's exactly the same. When he was playing his team, he could do what he liked. If he made a mistake, it wasn't scrutinised. At United, at big clubs, it does get scrutinised. Liverpool, you know, Newcastle in their time when they were doing well, Chelsea. If you made a mistake, you got scrutinised. But it doesn't happen at Leicester. You make a mistake, with all due respect, no one's really going to bat an eyelid. If you make five mistakes, then I'd tell you you're having a bad time. So I think Mourinho is like, if it's not working, I'm just going to get a new one. And you can't do that at this day and age. You're not a club that is a business now. It is a business. They've not got an owner that's going to go out. Even Pep has to justify why he's buying players. Klopp has to justify why he had to wait for Van Dijk to get him into the team. So he had to wait that length of time to bring in what he wanted. So, and what he had to do was coach and get the best out of what he had to do and bring people in. But Mourinho seems to have gone to this avenue that if he's not working, I'll go and get it. He's bought two centre-halves since he's been there. You know, coach them, make them better players. I think that's what a good coach should do, is make the players that you buy better and the ones that are there even better. You look what, you know, again, with Pop or with Pep, what he's done with Sterling, he's made him a better player. He's made, you know, Silva better players and so on and so on and so on. I mean,
Leroy Sané is another one.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you buy a player and make him better. You don't just, oh, it's not working. I bought him 18 months ago. I'm going to drop him out of the roster. I mean, what does that tell you? I mean,
would tell us that that's not Mourinho's strength. He has to buy in order to produce results. That's what he's done throughout his career, that he's not a teacher. And he's not the type of guy that necessarily can coach up players, to use an American term.
But he did do that with Drogba. He did do that with Essien. Mm-hmm. He did do that with Frank. He did do that with John Terry. He did coach at the beginning. And then he went to a situation where he thought he could just move on, i.e. Real Madrid. Inter Milan, he coached. I was at the Champions League final when they beat Bayern Munich. He coached that team to win the Champions League. He didn't just buy all them players. He made them better players. And now in the world with his best friends and agent, and then he can bring in who they like and who's the flavour of the month. Who can I go and get that's the flavour of the month, go and spend, right, you know, $75 million on Harry Maguire, which is a good player. Don't get me wrong. And he was great for England.
Had a great World Cup.
I should be banging the drum about an English player. Yeah, go on, yeah. I want more English players. But don't tell me he's worth $75 million for a centre-half that's had one good season. You know, that's ridiculous. There's enough talented players out there that if you go and do your homework and work and get on the training field and make these players better, what's happening at the moment, the pressure is getting to him and the pressure is getting to the players because, and Lee Dixon said it in the call yesterday, Lindelof was like, he was a nervous wreck because he's not going into an environment where he feels comfortable. He's going into an environment where the coaches are going in the newspapers in press conference saying that they're not good enough. I mean, how is that good man management?
Okay, so let me stop you there because you said something very interesting about Inter Milan and the way they were set up and the way they played. Is that part of the problem? Look, with Inter Milan, if he has the system and everybody on the same page with the type of football that's being played, obviously he has been successful in that way so many times before. Not taking anything away from him, not saying that he can't make individual players better, but the tactical side of it is so important to him. And again, when he was hired at Manchester United, the first thing everybody said is, tactically, is he the right fit for this club? And is that a big part of the problem?
Yeah, because of what they've been brought up, the fans, of the expectations of how Sir Alex Ferguson plays. So what I think he hasn't done, two things. I don't think he's evolved as a coach. He's gone back to what he said there. I've won for each. Well, that's in the past. We all, as I said, you've won. How can you evolve? And look what happened to Arsenal. They didn't evolve under Wenger in the end. He didn't evolve as a coach. One thing that Sir Alex, and that's the problem with everybody in the Premier League, Sir Alex Ferguson evolved. When I played against these teams with the likes of Brian Robson, Mark Hughes, at the beginning when they won it with Steve Bruce, they was tough and they was determined to win it and they was hard to beat. Then he went with the fledgings and I played against the Beckhams, the Skulls and Giggs and the like. And then they was exciting. They played with pride because they'd been brought up with that club and they played with pace and quality. And then again, when he brought Rooney in and Ronaldo, they played with a little bit more of a swagger and a bit more of a freedom. So he evolved as a coach throughout that time. Wenger didn't and now Mourinho hasn't. You look at Klopp has, Pep has to an certain extent because he's been in different countries. Mourinho's stuck in his ways. If I'm a coach and I'm 2-0 down against Spurs and I'm looking to try and win the game, do I put on Fellaini, and nothing against Fellaini because I think he's a decent player, or do I go with a young, sparking player like Rashford? I know what Man United fans would want, and that would be, and that's because I played against them for 15 years. They want someone who's got pace, who's going to run at him and understand what it's like to play for that club. I'm not saying Fellaini doesn't, but he hasn't got the three things that I said with pace and quality in the final third. He's a good, honest Premier League player, but he's not going to change a game in the sense of what you need to do with try and score goals. And Rashford has got something that terrifies people, and that's pace.
Yeah, where is Marcus Rashford? Do you think he's having a good time playing? You know, does Alexis Sanchez like playing this type of football for Manchester United? I mean, does some of that joie de vivre and that creativity and that unpredictability and these types of players get taken away when they come to a Mourinho team?
Yeah, I do. As I said, I think the whole situation of Mourinho's style of football, and you have to buy into that. It is an acquired taste. You have to realise your responsibilities when you don't have the ball. You have to realise the responsibilities of who you're playing against. And Rio Ferdinand made a great point about David Moyes when he first took over. And again, we had it with Newcastle, with Kevin Keegan. We had the likes of Ginola and Ferdinand and Asprilla. We didn't really worry too much about the opposition. I know the game's changed. I know the tactic systems and all that has changed. But as a team and as a group of players, I didn't really worry too much about who I was playing against. And whether that was Man United and Liverpool, whoever it was, or Bradford and Watford, these type of teams. And United now are too content about who they're playing rather than what can they do to express themselves, how can they go forward. I know you have to be streetwise and switched on about when you turn the ball over, have you got that? Well, that's what Matic is there for. You know, that's why you have these type of players that are good when you don't have the ball. And, at Chelsea, Antonio Conte, he shuffles across when he doesn't have the ball and closes things down. So from that point of view, the style of football that Mourinho wants and the pressure that they're under at the moment to try, players are not playing with that freedom. You know, even Lukaku, with his long summer that he's had, he didn't look sharp. You know, the open goal that he's missed the target there. I think if you have that mid September, October, he puts that away because he's back into the fall of the Premier League, because it's hard to go from a World Cup summer off and then jump straight into a game. Because I said it yesterday, it was a great game in the sense of the pace of the game, the quality, the tempo of the game, everything you expect from the Premier League.
Warren, as always, we thank you so much for coming on the program. Continued success. I know you're doing the Bundesliga now. By the way, hey, quick one before we let you go. Jesse Marsch has an assistant with Leipzig now. What a wonderful standard to be set for American coaches, right? Him and Bob Bradley doing things overseas and taking some risks with their careers.
Yeah, absolutely. And I heard some grumblings when he left Red Bulls. Oh, it's a disaster. Why is he leaving a head coaching job to be an assistant somewhere? Well, I think that's that little bit of insecurity again. He's gone over there to a big club in Germany that want to be successful, not only in the Bundesliga, but also in the Champions League. He's learning the league. He's learning, obviously, a language. He's learning different styles of football. I think it's a wonderful chance. I know Jesse reasonably well. I've come across him sometimes. He's very astute. He's very confident in himself and his ability. And he wants to progress and get better. And I think that's only good for MLS. The more that players, you don't necessarily have to always leave and be successful, but to go and spread your wings and find out about a different environment, I think it's excellent. And Jesse is leading the way. You know, as you said, Bob Bradley has done it and gone out there and be successful. And then he comes back and Jesse will be the same. And Timmy Chandler at Stuttgart as well is doing a great job there as a number two. So it's great for the league. It's great for them. And obviously it's great for the development of U.S. soccer.
Never understood why people criticize guys for taking some risks with their careers and trying things. Warren, as always, thank you so much for coming on the program tonight, and we'll see you down the road.
Good man, my friend. All the best to everybody. Thank
all right.
You. Bye-bye.
That's Warren Barton, Fox analyst, former defender for Newcastle. Always great to get him on the show. Quick word here for FM Bar and Kitchen, located one block north of Washington on Shepherd. Get in there for all the great soccer matches that are played there. They'll show the Premier League. They'll show the Dynamo. You go in there. They'll put it on. Enjoy the expertly crafted cocktails as well. They got amazing food there, too. Burgers, chicken, sandwiches, ribs, comfort, Southern comfort food. FM Kitchen and Bar, also an amazing patio, 13 monitors, and you can watch the game that you want to watch. It might be the Dynamo. It might be Manchester United. It might be Chelsea. It could be Leicester City, for all I know. The patio is also kid and pet friendly. Bring the entire family. Catch all the best in games at FM Kitchen and Bar. Go in there and say hello to Ryan. And also remind you of Kings Court. It's the place to be in Edo. It's the place to go before Dynamo games and Dash games. 903 Hutchins in the shadows of BBVA Compass Stadium. Kings Court, 13 monitors for all your soccer-watching desires, covering the leagues from around the world. Rooftop deck spectacular with a great view of the stadium. British and Indian pub-style cuisine is also a winner at the Kings Court. Great food, staff, and selection of bar and cocktails. All great prices, and they bought up a feast here the other day. Both FM Kitchen and Bar, but also Kings Court. Just incredible spreads they have put on catering Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. Go down to Kings Court, Houston, and say hello to Jay. Take a break. More to come.
New York City lying on the floor.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, tonight we are going to wrap it up in big style because September is Childhood Cancer Awareness Month, and one of our great presenting sponsors is the Texas Children's Hospital. It is the largest pediatric cancer center in the country. They've got over 190 physicians and scientists, clinical trials dedicated solely to childhood cancer. Yeah, 200 of those. And with us now, we join Dr. Dreyer. Well, September is Childhood Cancer Awareness Month, Dr. Dreyer. How about a little bit of background on the Texas Children's Cancer Center? And first off, I just want to say how excited not only I am, but we are here at ESPN 97.5 to have a presenting sponsorship and a partnership with you at TCH.
Well, and we're so thrilled to have you engaged. And as you probably know, children with cancer have pretty unique lives, and a lot of them are athletes, and because of their gifts in athletics, unfortunately, sometimes with their cancer, they have to step away from the athletics for a while. So you engaging our kids in an athletic adventure, especially for all of our soccer players, is fantastic.
Well, it's been so amazing to meet these young warriors and their families because they come from all over the world and right here in Houston, but you name it, Guatemala, Argentina. It's amazing the amount of kids that have come from differing countries from around the world.
Right, and many, many, many from Mexico as well.
Talking to Dr. Dreyer here of the Texas Children's Hospital, we appreciate it. Give us a little bit of background on Texas Children's Cancer Center.
So we're actually the largest cancer and blood disorder clinic in the country. So we see by far more patients here really than any place else. We have grown tremendously under the leadership of Dr. David Poplack, who was our director, who recently turned the reins over to Dr. Susan Blaney, who is now our director. And when Dr. Poplack came in 1993, there were 55 total members of the Cancer Center and 7 doctors. And now we have over 1,000 members of the Cancer Center, and we have almost 150 to 200 doctors. So it's really grown a lot. And besides the very, very important part of childhood cancer, which is cancer care that we do, we also spend a lot of time in research and in education. And we actually have nearly 50 research labs just as part of our cancer center, working to find the cure for cancer in so many different ways, genetically, new drug development, you name it.
We're
just a tremendously large and very, I think, successful cancer center.
Yeah, I would think so. Based on me being down there, it's amazing to see the esprit de corps down there and the way people work, whether it's doctors, nurses, anybody on staff, support systems, therapists. It's absolutely amazing. You mentioned funding research for pediatric cancer. I know there's a disparity that exists. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, you know, as one might guess, funding from the government for childhood cancer research has really continued to dwindle over time. And while we want to support all these young researchers as they may be the next ones to truly find the cure, we have to find the funds to do that, to support their early endeavors. And we spend a lot of our time really reaching out to organizations, to individuals, to foundations to help us raise more dollars that we can then apply to the young investigators and keep these labs running. We certainly have many NIH-funded researchers, but the percent of people that actually are funded by the NIH by the number of applications, it's about 5 to 10% maybe today. So that's a tough way to try to get your money. So we have really engaged the community and other organizations to help us allow these young investigators to fund their labs so they might make the breakthrough.
200 active clinical trials. Now, I have a sister who's in cancer research, and her husband's an oncologist. So I know what clinical trials are. Can you explain those to my audience and how important they are?
So clinical trials are investigations, not necessarily within investigative drugs or experimental drugs, but clinical trials are studies that are designed to ask and answer research questions in most cases. They are trials where we're able to treat all patients of certain categories in a uniform fashion. And then because you're doing that and you're collecting the data, then you're able to analyze the results of that trial and say, hey, you know, we gave drug A as well as drug B in this trial, and, you know, those people that got both drugs did a whole lot better. So it's really a way to move the field forward. And certainly in pediatrics, the huge majority of our patients are on a clinical trial of one sort or another. And I believe that that's one of the reasons that childhood cancer cure rates just continue to improve for most all of our diseases, because we really can ask and answer a question about a therapeutic choice and have that answer in 3 to 5 years, which is tremendous.
Dr. Dreyer joining us from the Texas Children's Hospital. We love that you're the presenting sponsor of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. It goes right to the heart. We certainly love it. How difficult is it sometimes for you working down there with children that are in these life-threatening situations? But yet, on the other side of it, there is so much optimism down there. I feel it when I'm in the hospital.
You know, I mean, there's no question that having a child with cancer is a tough, tough journey for any family, and certainly for that patient and for the siblings as well. We are all a pretty optimistic, upbeat group, and you know when you walk through the clinic that although on the first visit people are terrified that they're going to be sad and depressed after they leave, when in fact their hearts are filled with joy as they see these tremendous young warriors doing unbelievable things while getting their chemotherapy at the same time. But there are tough days. One of my patients who I adore this morning has become extremely ill. In fact, when we're done, I'm going to go and check on him in the intensive care unit. So there are days that are really tough days for all of us. But we work together as a team of providers. These kids are well-loved by, I think, everyone they encounter. And we all do our very, very best to get them to that next level and to get them cured. And thankfully, the huge majority, about 80% of all kids with cancer, will be cured. And when we say cured in pediatric oncology, we mean that disease is not coming back. And these kids are going to grow up and do what their life had in store for them prior to their cancer journey. Sometimes it's different, as many of them end up going into medicine, which wasn't what they thought they might do.
Well, Dr. Dreyer, we got to, first of all, thank you for your passion and your caring and the work that you do at Texas Children's Hospital. September's a big month. It's Childhood Cancer Awareness Month. And, of course, Texas Children's Hospital, the largest pediatric cancer center in the country. But I can't tell you how excited I am to, in a small way, be associated and keep spreading the word of childhood cancer awareness.
Well, we're thrilled for your commitment to the Cancer Center, and we've certainly known you over many years, and your relationship with the hospital means a lot to us. So we look forward to many great visits to come and many great interactions.
Dr. Dreyer, thank you very much for coming on the program tonight.
Of course.
So that'll do it. What a wonderful interview. Again, September is Childhood Cancer Awareness Month, and again, our big thanks to our second hour presenting sponsor, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, will bring you a personalized approach, DaspitLaw.com. 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. Whether you get in a car accident, motorcycle, industrial, construction, it doesn't matter. John and his firm will have you covered 24-7, nights and weekends. They're bilingual. Again, 713-322-HURT. Or go over to the website, DaspitLaw.com. They are proud sponsors of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. And by the way, they will give you the representation you need. John and his firm, big soccer fans down there, and we thank them for their presenting sponsorship of our number two. So that'll do it here for tonight for Tyler Scott and everybody here at Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. We thank you. On behalf of the firm, I'm Glenn Davis. Until next week, Soccer Matters.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.